Jim Jones has moved over 100 people of his congregation from Indianapolis to Ukiah, California. They are met with new obstacles, and Jones's grip gets tighter as he forces control over his followers. This week, we're covering the growth of People's Temple, the start of the sex-obsessed planning commission, and the always adorable and lovable chimpanzee, Mr. Muggs.
Prepare your earballs.
Get them ready. Mine is going to be blown. Poo. I don't think that's how minds get blown. Just a pew.
Yes, they do. What?
How are you, Jada?
I'm good. I've been sleepy lately. On my period. You know how it be.
Busy is good.
No, I didn't. No, definitely didn't say busy. Sleepy.
Oh, sleepy. I thought you said busy. I was like, I mean, busy's great. That's cool.
You're busy, though. How you been?
Oh, my goodness. I am so, but not in like a bad busy way. So I want to hear more about you before I talk about me. Why are you sleepy?
Oh, I'm on my period.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yep. Every time.
Gotta love it. Yeah, that was me 2 weeks ago. I was like, actually, that does segue quite nicely into what's been going on with me lately. No, I'm not pregnant, guys. That's not what I'm saying. I have a implant in my arm that is good for 3 years.
Yeah, I was going to say that was good, supposed to be good for a while. You better not be, because that's against the plan.
Yes, the plan is no more children. So I joined a group mastermind last week. It's like, yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's called The Awakening, and it's like all about getting over yourself, your mindset, and then, but also like super practical ways to move your business forward. And I am really excited about it. I started like actually planning out my week in a way that works better for me. And I know exactly what I need to accomplish in a day. And when I'm done, I'm done. Like, I don't have to keep working. So that part's exciting. And about the whole cycle thing, there's going to be a guest expert in the group next month, I think, that's talking all about working around your cycle and like tapping into your feminine cycle to create and chill and just like how much energy you have around your cycle and all that stuff. So I'm interested to see what that's about.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, it'll be good. I am excited. We shall see. But we're on, I don't know how many weeks of quarantine we're on at this point. Like
Too many. All of them.
All the week quarantine. That is exactly how it feels. It feels like it's just been a nonstop flow of quarantine. Anyway, everybody's good, healthy over here. What about you?
Yeah, everybody's healthy. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's been... I've been like trying to work through a lot of fear, especially with like all the media and stuff like that. And like really being open with communication with Chris, I think has been like super important for me, because sometimes I can like get in my head with fear and just overwhelm. And then I can sometimes take things a little too far in my brain. And so to like put my fears out into like actual words, sometimes I realize like I really don't have to worry about that because we're doing this and this. So it's been crazy. But today we are going to be talking about something even crazier than coronavirus. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
It might be a little crazier. But I'm Alicia Galati.
And I'm Jada Smith.
And this is Two Sisters and a Cult. And we are on part 3 of Jonestown. If you have not listened to part 1 and part 2, definitely recommend going back to those. This is going to be a 4-parter. It's going like, it's been insane. I mean, everybody thinks Jonestown, they think the end. And they don't really realize that there was so much going on before that last year in Jonestown, in Guyana. So I wanted to start this week off by kind of just going over a very, very brief overview of what is socialism, because we talked about it the last 2 weeks, and I just wanted to be like super clear on exactly what socialism is and what Jim Jones was preaching to his inner circle. Because when he was out on the road and he was talking to churches, he wasn't preaching socialism. He was preaching Christianity. And then when they got into the group, that's when they realized, no, this is more about socialism than about God.
Mm.
So socialism is a political and economic theory of social organization, which advocates that the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned and regulated by the community as a whole, rather than privately owned. So it's kind of what they're trying to do with like healthcare, prison systems. You know, you've got all these different things that, I mean, I believe in that some things should be publicly owned instead of privately owned. And I think that there are some aspects of a socialist, you know, socialism that could work, but I don't think that socialism as a whole works. My husband likes to say communism works on paper. I'm like, yeah, I guess. But so is communism like socialism? Yes, it is very, very similar. The only difference is that communism is more about the revolution and that side of socialism than the actual, like, making sure everybody has equality and has equal things.
Mm.
So it's important to remember that that is not what we have in a lot of countries. A lot of them are free market capitalist systems, but these tend to exploit workers and widen the bridge between the rich and the poor. So the rich just keep getting richer and the poor just keep getting poorer. So that's what Jim Jones was preaching to his inner circle, was a very socialist idea, but it wasn't exactly that everyone should be sharing everything. It was more about some people should be sharing everything.
Mm.
He gets all the other stuff.
Thank you.
Last week, we left Jim Jones growing stronger and stronger with the power that he had over his people. He had moved his congregation from Indianapolis to Ukiah, California, in an attempt to exert even more power over their lives and to, quote-unquote, spare them from the coming nuclear war. Jones quickly found that he could not do it all. He couldn't oversee everything that was going on with his people, so instead of delegating out work, he decided that he was going to start using drugs to make him be on point at all times.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Jones was giving multiple services, traveling for services, and administrating at the commune. So he had to be nothing less than godlike, on point every single time. Like, do you remember Sundays having 3 full services?
Yes.
Imagine Jim Jones preaching all 3 services.
Ah.
Yes, exactly. So, like, none of his assistant pastors could preach. No one in his inner circle could preach. He was the one that had to be up there, godlike, on point, talking to each of these crowds a little bit different, tweaking his message a little bit to cater to them. So, in order to stay on point the way that he needed to, he started taking prescribed amphetamines, like a lot of amphetamines.
Oh, no.
And it's kind of like the 60s and 70s where their amphetamine prescription issue was like the opioid prescription issue right now.
Yeah.
So, that kind of thing. So combine this with his predisposition to paranoia, it turned him into an absolute crazy person. Now, he is managing so much at this point. He has got his traveling road show. He's got the Ukiah commune. He has nursing homes. He has a laundromat, thrift stores, and soup kitchens. And he is managing all of it. So starting in 1971, Jones was having such a hard time with the amphetamines that he was having trouble sleeping. So the doctor prescribed him some Quaaludes.
Oh, my God.
To help him sleep.
You couldn't just start out with something lighter.
Yes. So he's taking amphetamines during the day and Quaaludes at night. this is when the sunglasses came out.
Oh, man.
Because he is, like, bloodshot, vampire-like eyes. So
this poor guy.
No, we don't like him, Jada. Remember?
No, we don't, but I mean...
So he's, yeah, he's struggling.
What an existence.
Oh, yeah. His eyes were constantly red, so he had to wear the sunglasses almost permanently just to make sure that his followers did not think he was a drugged out, crazy person. His excuse for this, because you know he had to have a good excuse to tell his followers, because they didn't need to know that he was on drugs at all, was that he had reached a holy state so great that if he were to look at someone without his glasses on, they would be burned by the godlike energy coming from his eyes.
That's fucking gold.
Right?
Oh my god.
Absolutely gold. This guy, it never ends with him, I swear to god.
I am a powerful superhero and you cannot look me in the eye.
Right? It's like okay. The guy from X-Men. I'm like, okay. So, but you gotta think about this. Like, glasses. Really great cult tactic if you think about the way that people have a very positive connotation with their own faces. And so if you're looking at someone with reflective glasses, you see this with kids. My kid did this just the other day. We were outside and I have reflective prescription glasses for being outside in the sun. And my kid comes up and he starts like making faces at my glasses just to see himself make faces. Like, we love to see our own faces. And so if the leader of your group is telling you something and speaking to you and you're seeing your own face in the reflection, you start to equate yourself with that leader and the message that he's saying to you.
Mm.
So I thought that was a very interesting part of the whole cult aspect. So in the early 1970s, they bought... they decided that they were going to take the show on the road, not just Jim Jones, but a group of People's Temple. So in the early 1970s, they bought an entire fleet of decommissioned Greyhound buses. I don't know about that. That sounds really dangerous.
Right? Who had their CDLs?
Right? They used these buses to truck the members to and from meetings. And when Jim Jones went on the road to preach his message, it wasn't enough that there were a few hundred people there to see him. He had to make sure that he brought some extra people. So he would bring 200 to 300 people crammed three in a seat into these revivals. But it wasn't just that. Like, kids were in the luggage racks. They needed two drivers because they couldn't stop at any hotels. They couldn't afford to because, you know, socialism. Mm-hmm. And so they would have one driver driving while the other driver is in the cargo hold sleeping on a mattress. So safe.
Seriously.
I can't even handle it. So they're taking the show on the road, and what's better than preaching and getting your message out and getting more followers? Selling exclusive Jim Jones merch on the road. They would set up a table and sell portraits of Jim Jones for $5. And they said, with this picture, you will be protected from all types of terrible things. Like, it's like the tattoo guy on Mulan. This tattoo will protect me from harm. They punch him and he's like, I hope he gets his money back.
Right.
It does not make any sense. But apparently, this little boy told a story about how there was a dead bird on the side of the road and how he put the picture of Jim Jones on the bird and then the bird flew away and he was alive. And I'm like,
he was probably sleeping and you freaked the shit out of him.
I agree. That's exactly what happened. It makes no sense. With that picture, they'd be protected. So, you know, everybody wants to buy it. But the more you bought, the more protection you got. And in some services, they would sell up to 600 in a single service. That's a lot of cash money dollars from one service. And every bit of it is tax free. Yep. So people are being drawn to the commune. They're thinking, wow, this preacher's amazing. All these ideas of equality. And they join people's temple thinking they're going to be at, you know, a higher elevation with God and Jesus and all this stuff. And then they come in and they find out, oh, wait, no, I'm in a shack with 12 other people and I'm working my butt off for the commune and putting back money into the commune. So I'm really not even making any money at all and not even being able to live my life. Jim Jones had private sermons that were locked door affairs, and they were only for the elite members of People's Temple. Those who were on the commune, those people who were like all for it. And there was even security outside of these doors to make sure that non-People's Temple people did not make it into these meetings. That's where he would preach socialism. So when he was on the road, it was always Jesus, God, Jesus, God. And then in the confines of his closer knit circle would be all of the socialism. So you'd come in for the God aspect, find out that there's a deeper level to all of this. It is not just people wanting to live in equality and share together and be together. It is more about socialism and Jim Jones than anything else. And if anyone decided that they were going to complain about the way that things were going, someone, usually Jim Jones, would say one word to shut them up. Bourgeois. You're being bourgeois, which is a socialist term for like the rich people versus the poor people. This word, they would fill it. Like, it was, if you wanted the finer things in life, you were bourgeois. You could be wanting to go to the movies. You want privacy. You want to eat delicious food and you don't want to eat oatmeal every morning for breakfast. Or maybe you just don't want to have sex with Jim Jones. Yeah, you're bourgeois.
Wow.
Yep. One time, one of the black members asked Jones why he was only having sex with white women. Jones got super pissed. And he said, it is my duty to snap these white women out of their bourgeois attitudes. That's what the sex does. And since black people don't have bourgeois attitudes, I don't have to have sex with them. There's no need.
Uh-huh.
People actually bought this shit.
Dude.
It's insane to me. So you remember from last week that Jones has started recruiting more wealthy people into his commune. It's not just about the poor and needing things. He's getting these people who actually have college educations. They have money. They've maybe traveled abroad a little bit. They know more than what Jim Jones might be actually saying. And any time that they would correct him, like if he said something like, well, this is around this time is when he decided that he was like, you know, Russia's not bad anymore. They are the motherland of socialism. And someone was like, I think you're wrong. And so he flipped out on this person. Everybody in the service was flipping out at this guy and lost his shit. And then afterwards, he pulled the guy aside and was like, you know, I know that it's not true, but you know, my sheep, my people, they don't know. They're not educated. They're not like you and me. You know, if you ever feel like I'm saying something that's out of line or it doesn't make sense, you can always come to me with that kind of stuff. So he takes those people who are like, wait, no, that doesn't make any sense. Taking them under his wing and saying, well, you know, you can just tell me if you feel that way. And that way, that communication and that distrust is only in that person rather than spreading throughout the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
Massive cult tactic there.
Devious.
Oh, yeah. He's just stroking their ego. He's making them feel special. And in return, they're giving they're working for Jim Jones at this point.
Second Nature is a premium service solving a very unpremium problem: regular air filter replacement. Even that sentence alone sounds a little dull, but trust us, it's a problem worth solving. Most people don't recognize they're supposed to change their filters every couple of months. and the ones that do barely have time to remember it. That's where Second Nature comes in. I recently subscribed to Second Nature when we bought our house, and I could not believe the amazing quality and options that are available for air filters for your home. I love the easy set it and forget it. I get a monthly filter because my son and I have really bad allergies. Second Nature made it so easy. And using our promo, you can get a month for free. We definitely recommend that you try it out and stick with them. We've been with them for almost 2 years now, and we absolutely love them. You can go to twosisterscult.com/secondnature. With a Second Nature subscription, you'll never forget your filters again.
One of the most important of these troublemakers turned confidant was Tim Stowen. Tim was a lawyer who believed in the cause and in Jim Jones, which is exactly what Jones was looking for. He was a local assistant DA, but the reason that he was so attracted to Jones was that when he was in college, he took a trip to Paris, and he was absolutely startled by the poverty among the homeless. So he was like, holy shit, this is really how some people are living. I can't even believe it. Like, I've never seen this before. And so he had felt this like pulling and tugging, and he started reading up on economics and racial equality. And that's when he met Jones. Like, all of these people are primed, the like rich white people, they're primed to want to be drawn to someone like Jim Jones because they think, oh, wow, this is a way that I can, you know, shed my, what's the word I'm looking for? Privilege. I can shed my privilege, do something good for other people, which is a very noble thing to do. But Jones takes so much advantage of it. So Tim is spending a ton of time with Jones, and this is causing some issues between him and his wife, Grace. Now, Grace was also part of People's Temple at this time. When her husband joined, she joined. She started talking about how Tim is spending so much time with Jones, and she feels like she doesn't have a husband to talk to. But when what people don't realize is the most gossiping people are usually religious people. You know what I'm saying? And it's usually the men, actually. People don't realize this, but men gossip a lot more than women do. It's pretty funny. Everyone in I was about to say Jonestown. We're not there yet. Everyone in Ukiah is like gossiping about each other. And but it's not even about like gossip. It's like just having conversation. So I could be talking to you and you'd ask me, oh, how you doing? Oh man, you know, I've been really tired. Baby's been keeping me up. Next thing you know, I'm getting reamed in front of the whole church for complaining about being a mom and being up late. You know what I mean? So it's like that kind of thing. So everyone is reporting on everyone. It is not even like they're really even trying to, or that people are being investigated. It's just these little cute old ladies telling people's business. Jones heard about the marriage issues and decided that he was going to move in on Grace.
Gross.
Yep. Soon after, she was pregnant from the illicit affair with Jones. John Victor Stowen was born January 5th, 1972. This was one of the only children born from Jones's affairs. So he had sex with a lot of his female and male People's Temple members. Anytime that someone got pregnant, he would make them get an abortion. Now, his reasoning was, we live in a socialistic community. We don't need more children. We can't add to the population. It's not good for socialism, blah, blah, blah. That's how he twisted it, when really he just didn't like wearing a condom.
That's disgusting.
And wanted to fuck everybody, including the men. And the men, like, the whole idea of, like, him fucking the men was more about dominance than it was about, like, being bisexual. It was just him exerting his authority over people. This child was a big deal because every other woman he had told had to have an abortion. It was such a big deal that Jim Jones made Tim, what should have been the father, read out in front of the whole congregation a written statement that he had asked Jim to sire his child because he could not. Absolute disregard for, like, this guy. And that's how he did it, though. Like, he would belittle people so bad that they didn't really have anywhere to run. They didn't have anyone to turn to. They couldn't really talk to anybody about what was going on because it was all done publicly. Like, you are shamed publicly. And so what did Marceline think about this? I mean, Jim Jones' wife, what's going on with her? Jones decided to humiliate her by making her sign the letter as a witness. He's an absolute piece of shit.
Yep.
So this was the last straw for Marceline. She'd met a really nice psychiatrist who she was going to leave Jones for. She was excited. She was like, all right, we're going to do this. And the only thing was, though, she couldn't just leave. She wanted to take all 5 kids with her. So she's got her 1 natural born son and then 4 adopted children. And when Marceline told Jones that she wanted to leave and take the kids with her, he decided to call a family meeting. He said that she was going to meet a terrible end. You know, he tried to play the whole, like, because you're leaving, it'll be the end. You know, same thing as with the stupid pictures. If you don't have my picture, you're going to die, you know. So she was like, you know, you're full of shit. I already know. I was your first follower. You know, like, I've seen the bullshit to this point. I know you're just full of it. So he decided to cut to the chase. He said, in front of the kids, he told Marceline that if she ever left him, he would kill her. And she knew he was not bluffing. He had the means and the will to take her life. And so she stayed. The Jones kids were actually doing pretty good. They didn't actually mind being in the commune. And a lot of, like, they did a lot of fun stuff, but they were mostly occupied with Mr. Muggs. Mr. Muggs was a full-grown chimpanzee. According to People's Temple and what they thought, Mr. Muggs had been saved from a laboratory. That's what Jones had told them. Oh, look at me. I did this amazing thing. When really they had just purchased him from a pet store. I don't know what fucking pet store you can buy a goddamn full chimpanzee, but the 70s were nuts.
Clearly. That is crazy.
Oh yeah. So even though Jones was constantly preaching a socialist culture, his family would get special treatment. They would be like, oh yeah, we're going on a secret mission. Really, they were like going to Disney World or whatever. Or Disneyland, whichever one's in California. I don't even know. But they would take these trips and leave the commune for quote-unquote forbidden activities. And, like, Jones is doing all of this crazy stuff. He starts smoking, which you're not supposed to be smoking. He starts drinking, you're not supposed to be drinking. You know, he's coming off of his bus with all these ladies, like, from traveling. Things are starting to look a little weird in the community, and they're just like, what's going on? But, you know, if you ask the leader what's going on, he'll say, you know what? You're just bourgeois. You need to get a spanking. Anyway. Yeah. Jim and Marceline's natural-born son, Stephen. I keep wanting to call him Stephen. Stephen was the only one who didn't seem to be enjoying it, like enjoying Mr. Muggs, enjoying the forbidden activities, none of it. He attempted suicide 3 times when he was 12. And it was Jones's Quaaludes that Stephen tried to take his life with. Jones made no attempt. Like, these Quaaludes were out and about. All his drugs were whatever was easiest, that's where they were. His son tried to commit suicide 3 times in 1 year, and he didn't move them because he didn't want to. it was easy and convenient for him.
I find it interesting that the only one who was actually Jones's child had some kind of mental illness.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I mean, it's definitely a mental illness if you're attempting suicide. Like, there's something, I don't want to say wrong in your brain, but you need help.
That's not a healthy 12-year-old. Yeah.
No. And now he's an adult, and he said that the reason that he did that was a cry for help, and it was to get, like, attention and love and stuff like that. But 3 is a lot.
Yeah.
Cries for help without some type of underlying mental thing going on.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Jones started portraying himself as God. He would throw a Bible across the room and say, if there's a sky God, he can strike me dead right now. And I mean, like, think about it. He's talking to a group of people that have religiously read the Bible. Jada,
mm-hmm.
I'm curious. Have you ever thrown away a Bible?
Yeah.
Do you feel a little twinge when you do it?
I mean, yeah.
It's like that instilled, like, okay. You know, it's fine. What am I freaking out about?
It's fine. It's totally fine.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
Yes. So you've got a group of people like that, like me and you, who grew up in the church and who grew up that the Bible is the word of God and that it is, you know, the divine written word. But Jim Jones is coming in and saying it's a ploy and rewritten and it's being used to, you know, keep people hostage and just elevate the white class and all of these different things. And people are like, okay. And then he throws a Bible across the room and says, if there's this guy, God, he can strike me dead right now. And nothing happens. Like, you've got to be thinking, like, holy shit. Maybe there isn't a sky god. So then after throwing it across the room, saying that the sky god can strike me dead, he said, see, there's no god other than me. We are all God. But of course, his version of we are all God is not that we are all God. It is that he is the upper god and everybody right. else is the lower god. Mm-hmm. So at this point, he is ramping it up. He is growing his membership. He is loving all the things that he is doing and growing his church, but he is ready to take it to the next level. Last week, we talked about Father Divine and Sweet Angel Divine. Well, Father Divine had been dead for 7 years when Jim Jones decided that he was going to take a shot at Mother Divine. Now, what we talked about last time, for those of you who maybe didn't listen, go back and listen. Listen now. Go back. Listen. It was great. But for those of you who are rebels, the whole point of Father Divine, he believed, pretty much he said that he was God and that when his wife died, who he said would not die, she died. And he said, well, no, actually what happened was she jumped bodies into this sweet angel divine, a Canadian white woman. She went from an older black woman into a younger, supple Canadian white woman. So this wasn't new to this group and this cult, which we're going to talk about Father Divine in a few weeks after Jim Jones. But the idea of reincarnation and people jumping bodies after dying was not something new. So Jim Jones wanted to reap the rewards of that. He said, you know, Father Divine's been dead for 7 years and he is now living inside of me.
Oh, God.
Last week you were Jesus and Buddha, and now your Father Divine, too? I mean, how many personalities can you fit in that brain of yours? You know what I'm saying?
All of them, apparently.
All the personalities. So his plan was that he was going to woo Mother Divine and take over the group. And he was so cocky about it that he took 200 of his members in buses, his most loyal followers, and then some extra buses because he thought, you know what? I got this in the bag. I'm already in there. I'm going to be taking some followers back with me. So he brought extra buses, took his entire, well, not entire, but 200 of his members, drove across in these retired Greyhound buses from California to Pennsylvania.
Oh, Lord.
Audience, I don't know if you've ever been in a Greyhound bus.
It is not pleasant.
Not enjoyable. And then imagine being crammed in a Greyhound bus.
With 199 other people.
Yeah. Well, so they were like 50 seaters and they'd fit 70 people in each one. You know. Mother Divine was getting up in years. He figured, I can take this over. He brings all his, not all his congregation. I keep saying that. Got a lot more than 200 people. We'll see. But he takes his group and he goes to Pennsylvania and he brought the extra buses because he thought, you know what? I'm going to be taking a ton of people back. It doesn't even matter. So Jim Jones starts talking to them and he's like, within a few days, I've got this in the bag. It is going to be great. He's talking to Mother Divine. She's like, I don't really know how I feel about this. And then, you know, they're kind of listening to him and he's preaching and preaching and preaching. And then it kind of gets to like, yeah, no, we're not really feeling this. And he gets so angry that he starts acting like, if you don't come with me, you're going to end up in hell. You're going to hell. There will be fire and brimstone on your house and all of these things. Of course, Mother Divine is like, yeah, you can get the fuck out. She's good. Like, yeah, no, that is not how this works in here. So Jones went back to Ukiah with his tail between his legs, and he was quiet the entire ride back.
Uh-oh.
Jones decided to take a lot of his anger from this situation happening, right? Because he's angry. He's like, well, this woman denied me. And of course, when he asked about it by the followers that were still in Ukiah, he said, oh, you know, she showed me her floppy tits and I said, I'm not going to do it. And so it just didn't work.
Wow.
Yes, everything is about sex with this dude. So he decided that he was going to create the Planning Commission, also known as the PC, which, I mean, like, why do people create acronyms for, like, short things? Like, it's right. Just two words. You can't say Planning Commission. You gotta say PC.
PC. You lazy bones.
Dorks.
Lazy Bones Jones.
Oh, yeah. So this Planning Commission was not the inner group. Like, these were not his OGs. These were a layer out of that inner group, but still felt like they were the inner group. So they would meet after the regular service, sometimes for hours. And it was really just a way for Jones to talk about socialism, talk about himself, talk about his sexual exploits, and just talk and talk and talk. Membership is up to 3,000 people at this point, and he needed to find ways to get his, like, his new thoughts and his new ideas and his I am God bullshit out to the people without having to talk to each of them. So he would spread, like, this was like his testing group. He would test out new ideas, new socialist bullshit that he wanted to throw out there. Because this dude was, like, constantly spewing bullshit to the point where, like, one time he was preaching and he was like, you know what? The only toothpaste that's going to get you into heaven is Crest toothpaste. Like,
oh my God.
Absolute bullshit, this dude. So he would test these things out in his inner circle with the Planning Commission and see kind of how it fell and how it worked and, like, how the delivery was before trying it on the bigger group. And plus he had this small group to go and spread his lies and his, you know, teachings before people actually heard it. So it creates that reinforcement with the people of, like, you hear things over and over and over and over and over again. And then it just becomes like, yeah, this is what it is. He wanted to see what he could get away with this group in the side of humiliation. So like I said earlier, his way of humiliation was usually with sex. He would either humiliate a woman or a man, either one, by dominating them through sex and sexual exploits.
Allswell believes in the power of a good night's sleep for all. It's been their guiding principle since the moment that they launched. Their mattresses are designed to make good sleep accessible to everyone. The Allswell features hybrid mattress technology combining the best of both worlds, memory foam and individual coils. A winning blend for comfort and support. Love it. Their goal is to create an affordable mattress without sacrificing quality or luxury. So what's the result? The Allswell Queen mattress costs only $345. And no, that is not a joke. Their Queen mattress is only $345. By using our special link, you can get free shipping, a 10-year limited warranty, and 100 nights risk-free trial. Definitely go check it out. You can find our link in the show notes. That lets Allswell know that we sent you and helps to support our show. Or you can simply go to twosisterscult.com/savings and you'll be able to find the link on our page. We have all our favorite things on there, but definitely go check out Allswell and get yourself a queen mattress. Allswell, dreamy mattresses for real life.
One of the main purposes of the PC was for Jones to pull in his sexual conquests. He didn't have sex with anyone outside of the Planning Commission. So if he was like, you know what, that lady's looking really good today, he would take her aside and say, you know, I'd like you to join my secret group of the Planning Commission. And then he would just end up having sex with her. If it was a guy who was being a little rowdy or rambunctious and wasn't following rules or protocol, pull them in, they'd be in the Planning Commission. Like, anyone who was on his, like, list of people he needed to keep an eye on, that was his way of bringing them in. In some meetings, Jones would make one of his sexual conquests write out a statement of how the sexual experience was. So he'd be in the middle of talking, say, wait, you know, we had sex, right? Go ahead and write about it, and then you can read it out loud. Like, what?
Fucking creepy.
It was fine, said everyone everywhere.
It was all right, I guess.
You know, it was fine. The Planning Commission wasn't just for his sexual exploits or to test things out. This group was also in charge of disciplining the congregation. This started out as counseling, which is great. And they even had certified counselors, like people who were licensed. That's great to actually do the counseling. Mm-hmm. But once this didn't work and people were acting more bourgeois and wanted more things and weren't happy with the way that things were going, they'd get brought in front of the church and yelled at for all of their sins. Then Jones comes in, he gives them a hug, and he says, this was for your good. It's an abusive relationship to the T.
Mm-hmm.
Then the spankings came.
What?
Yes.
What?
In the front of the church.
Like, oh, my God.
You.
Oh, my God.
Yep. People would be brought to the front of the church for their sins. And it started off as like one or two spankings for a few people, but like at one point there was like 100 people in line waiting to be spanked.
What the fuck?
The belt turned into a paddle that Jones so kindly called the Board of Education. Like,
what a fucking retail.
Very original, dude.
Oh my God.
things just continued to escalate, and the number of spankings went up and up and up. Sometimes, you know, it started off a few spankings. Next thing you know, it's 50 spankings. Like, some members were so hurt by the spankings that they required medical attention. I don't understand how you explain that. Like, why was nobody keeping track of this stuff at the hospital, like the local hospital?
Right.
When the spankings got boring, then came the boxing matches.
What?
The offender would be forced into a boxing match with someone that they had no chance of beating. This is in front of the entire church. Like,
oh my God.
And it became like a source of entertainment. People were like, kick him in the face! Kick him in the face! Like, what? Like, you're
sounds
going
like the 100.
Seriously, you're going, but it was all very, very subtly. Like, 3 years ago, they're singing and dancing, and their services are just like them jumping up and down and praising God and like all this stuff. Next thing you know, they're fucking boxing. Talk about Fight Club. Jeez.
Sounds like our place after we left.
What do you mean?
So they started doing exorcisms and shit.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Weird shit.
Oh, no. Nope.
Right? I'm glad we nope. Moved out of there.
Glad I wasn't there for that one.
No, thank you.
Oh, man. Jones decided at this point, he's got all the power. He has all the authority. He's got, like, so much influence over his members. And he starts to turn his eye on San Francisco and franchising this group into something even more. Like, he already has 3,000 members, but he's like, nope, we need more. So he starts to look into San Francisco and Los Angeles to franchise People's Temple, and we're going to pick back up there next week with the last installation of the last episode for the Jonestown episodes. So hold on to your butts. Next week is going to be rough. I am not looking forward to it. No, not even a little bit.
I mean, I kind of am, because every single week it's just gotten... Like, the first week, I was like, oh my God, I didn't know any of this. This is crazy. Week two, I was like, holy crap. Wow. Yeah. And then this week, even better. Like, he just keeps upping his game.
Yeah.
It's awful to behold.
He started, like, late 50s, early 60s. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's just like, go, 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 till almost the 80s. So, yeah, he's a nutcase, that's for sure.
He's an absolute psycho.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for everybody that got caught up in that.
Yeah, and, I want to talk about that a little bit, too. I think that's important. Why would somebody join a cult? And we talk about this on a lot of our other episodes, but if you're a rebel and you started on this episode... People join cults not because they're like, I'm going to join a cult today. It's going to be great. Or I'm going to leave my family today. It's going to be great. It's usually something in their lives that happens that makes them turn to a cult. So whether that's losing a loved one or finding themselves at the end of their mental rope or being financially broke, usually people turn to religion around that time too. Like, that is... like a big pull for these people. So if you think about it, like, well, these people are getting spanked and they're being put into boxing matches. Why the hell didn't they leave? If you're one of the people that joined from the beginning and this is all you know, you're not going to leave. Like, you were destitute and you were broke and Jim Jones took you in and you have a job with someone who's a like People's Temple member. So if you leave People's Temple, you not only have to quit your job, but now you don't have a job. You don't have any money, because at this point, they're tithing 25% of their income. to Jim Jones. Like, anything more than 10, you're in a cult.
Seriously.
Even 10.
Even then. Let's
call it like it is.
About this, man, because you shouldn't be giving anything that you don't specifically desire to give to anybody at any time.
Agreed. That's a rape.
It's monetary rape.
It's a monetary rape. It's a money rape.
Raping my bank account, Church.
You know? So, anyway. Yeah, so at this point, they're giving 25% of their income, and they're working for People's Temple members or for the actual church itself. All of their food is provided. All of their, like, clothes are provided for. Like, they don't have to do anything, ask for anything. It's all there. So why would you leave? Like, you're almost seen as crazy if you leave. And Jones is trying to control his group so much that when people actually do leave, they are writing out, like, written statements that they will not say anything bad about the group, written statements, like defamation clauses and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
They are not allowed to live within 100 miles of the commune once they leave in order to not influence the people that are still there. And everyone who is that leaves is looked at as like a black sheep and a terrible human being and just like totally disowned. So why would you want to leave? If you know exactly what's on the other side of that, you're not going to leave.
Oh, good point.
I feel like it's the same with the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, everything was provided for us. Everything was given to us. We had everything we needed. And, like, any extra things were like, oh, wow, what a blessing. You know, like, when it was, like, minimal of anything, like, new and exciting. That's a whole other story for another time, guys.
Yep. I watched a cult movie on Netflix recently.
Ooh, which one?
It's called The Endless.
Ooh, I don't know that one, I don't think.
Yeah, it's a super weird one. Like, at first you think it's going to be very basic culty, psychological, but then there's an actual sci-fi aspect to it. So it's kind of fun. Yeah.
Is it a documentary or is it like...
No, it's like a movie.
Oh, okay.
It's like a UFO death cult, and these two brothers go back because they had left 10 years ago, and now they're not teenagers anymore, so the entity that the cult worships kind of has its eye on them.
There are alien death cults out there. We will talk about those, too.
Yeah.
There's also just really weird alien cults out there. There's a lot of weird shit, guys. Yeah. We're going to talk about all of it. It's going to be so good.
Gonna be the best.
Oh yeah. So if you guys have a cult that you want us to cover, or if you've been in a cult, or you have a favorite cult, I mean, it's not weird unless you make it weird. We want to hear about it. Or if you just want to tell us a funny story and you don't have anyone to talk to, send us an email. We love to chat. So you can send us your stories at twosisterscult@gmail.com.
And we have a Patreon.
Bow, 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 bow. Wow. Did I tell you Jude did that today for me? He was like,
no, oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. Go Jude.
Great.
Go Jude. It's your birthday. So we have a Patreon. Yes. And our weekly podcast is always going to be free. But if you donate to our Patreon, it'll support the show. It'll support the show and allow us to create more amazing content for you. So you can go to twosisterscult.com and just click on Patreon on the top menu, and you can get some exclusive perks there, like a shout out on the show, access to our top secret Facebook community. If you join at the $10 level on Patreon, you'll get a Two Sisters and a Cult sticker and exclusive monthly. I can't speak today. An exclusive monthly bonus full-length episodes that will not be available on the podcast.
We also have some pretty sweet merch available in our shop. You can pick from decal stickers, t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other fun stuff. Click shop in the menu at twosisterscult.com.
And the best way for you to help us out on the show is to like, review, and subscribe. You can do that on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to tell your friends, all of them, not just the ones that you think would like us.
Yes. Tell all your friends to join our cult.
All of them.
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Two Sisters Cult. Come hang out with us. We absolutely love our community. You guys have been amazing. We love you guys so much.
So much.
Catch you on the flip side.
Don't join that cult.